If I were to ask you to take out a piece of paper, or at least in your imagination, two on a piece of paper to mark where you are and to mark where you should be in your life, how far would you say that line would have to be to get from where you are today to where you ought to be at this point in your life? Have you ever thought like that? I know that sometimes our young people, our teenagers, young adults even think that way. You know, by this point in my life, I should have already done this. I should have already been here. I should have already accomplished this. We have certain standards by which we think, here's where I ought to be at this particular point in time. As you look at your life and you say, here's where I am now, how long would the line have to be to say, here's where I should be by now? And we could fill that in with the question of, where are you now financially, and where should you be at this point in your life? Or where would you have liked to have been? Maybe that's another question. Have been at this point in your life financially. We could fill that in with a number of things. But obviously, you know, in this setting, where are you now compared with where you ought to be spiritually? If you were to draw a line on a piece of paper and say, here's where I am, and here's where I ought to be, here's where I should be in my relationship with God, how great in your mind is the distance between those two points? Or are you one of those who would say, well, I'm right where I should be. I'm doing just fine. I'm right on target. I'm growing at the exact right rate. I'm not growing too fast. I'm not growing too slow. I'm doing just peachy. I don't need to make any changes in my life. For those of us who live in reality, for those of us who live in the real world, for those of us who recognize our own frailties in our relationship with God, how far is it from where you are now to where you should be? And the question more important than that is, what is it going to take to get you there? You know, sometimes we do a self-evaluation. Sometimes we look at ourselves spiritually and we say, here's where I am, here's where I ought to be, and you can get pretty discouraged, can't you? What we often do is we compare ourselves not to our Lord, not to His standard. We compare ourselves to each other. Say, well, I'm not quite as far along as He is. I'm not where she is. I don't know if I'll ever be as far along as He is, or I don't know if I'll ever be as mature spiritually as she is. And we start comparing ourselves to each other. And we get discouraged. We think everybody else is farther along than I am. When it comes to the Bible, everybody else is smarter than I am. I don't know enough. When it comes to our walk with the Lord, we think, you know, everybody else is stronger than I am. Here I am. I'm just wallowing here, trying to walk with the Lord. Everybody else just seems stronger than I am. Everybody, they're doing more than I am. They're helping more people than I am. And we start comparing ourselves with each other, and that even more increases this distance of where we think we ought to be. You know, God calls upon us. He challenges us. He challenges us with statements like, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. That's challenging. To be complete. To be mature. To try to be just like God. To try to imitate Christ. To imitate God in Ephesians 5 and verse 1. But God challenges even more, and He says, once you reach a certain level, He says you need to abound some more, and you need to increase some more, and you need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. The Bible tells us we should never be satisfied. We should never reach a plateau. We should never reach a point in our life where we think, this is all that I need to do for the Lord. Where are you now compared with where you ought to be? The question this morning is, how can you get there? How can you get to where you need to be? How can you get to where you should be? I know what most of us try to do. We just try to start studying more. That's a good thing. I know what a lot of us do. We just start trying to do more. We start trying to make more phone calls. We start trying to write more letters. We start trying to help more. We start coming to services more. And we try to help out in any time that we can. And we think the more that we do, stronger we will become. And in part, that can be true. But let me challenge you this morning. That as we think about where we are spiritually, and as we think about where we ought to be, here's where I need to be. To recognize that we will never reach that point all by ourselves. That we are never going to reach the point of where we ought to be. We'll never be as strong as we ought to be all on our own. It's not going to happen until you do two things. And this is all we're going to talk about this morning, these two things. You will never reach the place you need to be spiritually until you first come to Jesus. And until you second, let Jesus help you. This life is not about what we can do on our own. This life isn't about how strong we can be all by ourselves. The Lord did not put us on this earth to prove ourselves to Him, to show Him how strong we could be and how much we didn't need Him. If that's our mindset, we've utterly failed. Because we have no strength without the Lord. We have no goodness without God. We have no righteousness without our God. We have no promises without our God. We are nothing without Jesus. And as we try to self-evaluate this morning, as you try to say, here's where I am and here's where I ought to be, recognize that the Lord places upon us, and this is what we're going to see in the first part of this about coming to Jesus, the Lord places upon us a certain responsibility. It's not all up to Him. He's not just going to pick us up and carry us along without any responsibility on our own. He places a certain responsibility upon us to take charge of those areas that we can take charge of and grow in those areas where we can grow. And yet, He says, you'll never make it on your own. You'll never succeed if you try to grow, if you try to mature, if you try to get to heaven all by yourself. This morning I want you to go to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to use that passage in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. We're going to use that as our guide this morning. We're going to use this passage where Jesus comes, and we often look at this as the calling of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and the calling that Jesus has of them to come and be His disciples, to be His apostles. I want us to use this as our guidepost this morning. For us to understand what is it that we need to do when we come and we let Jesus. The first thing that we're going to focus on this morning in Mark chapter 1 is just this idea of coming to the Lord. And I want to see seven things just briefly that we see in Mark chapter 1. There are seven things that are required of us when we come to Jesus. And they're all right here in this passage. The Bible tells us in verse 16 that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. And here He is walking. This is not the first time. You have to go back to John chapter 1 to find the first time. This is not the first time that Peter meets Andrew and Peter. Not the first time that Peter and Andrew meet Jesus. They had met Him before. Jesus comes walking by the Sea of Galilee, and He sees Peter and Andrew. Now, when Jesus is getting ready to call them to follow Him, there are seven things that He is going to require of them in this passage. In order to follow Jesus, in order to come after Jesus, the first thing that Jesus requires is you. The first thing He requires is for you to come. Now, you think that's pretty obvious. But what He requires is for you to come as yourself. Notice how these men are described. In Mark chapter 1, it says, "As He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He came and saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea." For what? They were fishermen. Does the Bible say, "For they were going to be disciples"? Does the Bible say, "For they were going to be apostles"? For does the Bible say, "For they were going to be preachers"? For does the Bible say, "For they were going"? No, the Bible doesn't tell us what they were going to be. When Jesus calls upon us to come after Him, He says, "You need to come, and you need to come as yourself." When you come to Jesus, don't try to come like somebody else. Here were these fishermen. You think when Jesus called them, they thought, "You know, I need to become like John the Baptist. I'm going to go and become like John the Baptist, and then I can follow after Jesus." Jesus didn't say become like John the Baptist. Jesus said, "You come." These men are just fishermen. What good are they going to be for God? They're just fishermen. How good are they going to be at preaching the gospel? They're just fishermen. You know, when God calls you, when God wants you to come after Jesus, He wants you to come as yourself. Each of us has our own strengths and our own weaknesses. You cannot come to the Lord as one of the elders. You cannot come to the Lord as Dan Fuller. Dan Fuller is already trying to come to the Lord as Dan Fuller. He's got those shoes filled. He doesn't need somebody else in his shoes. You cannot come to the Lord as Tommy Paldo. Tommy Paldo's doing pretty good. Tommy Paldo's doing pretty good. You only got one amen, Tommy. I'm sorry, I tried again. He's doing pretty good. But only Tommy Paldo can come to the Lord for Tommy Paldo. You can't come to the Lord for somebody else. You can only come to the Lord as yourself. Jesus died on the cross not for you so that you could be like Julie Charles, so that you could be like Wesley Walker. He died for you so that you could be like Him. And each of us is that in our own unique way. Each of us looks like Jesus in our own unique way, but not like each other, but to look like Him. If you're going to come to Jesus, first thing you got to do is not try to fake it. I'm going to try to look like Jimmy Banks. The Lord likes Jimmy Banks. If the Lord likes Jimmy, I'll just look like Jimmy and the Lord will like me too. No, you got to be yourself. You got to come as yourself. If you're going to come to Jesus, you not only come as you, but coming to Jesus requires a decision. Notice what Jesus only says to them these simple words in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus says, "Follow me." They got a decision to make. Am I going to follow Him or not? You know, coming to Jesus is not something you do accidentally. Coming to the Lord is not something that you just wake up and all of a sudden realize, "Hey, I came to Jesus. I didn't even realize it." Coming to Jesus is something you make up your mind. This is something I am going to do. You make a decision. Jesus said, "No man can serve" what? "Two masters." Guess what? You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision. And in Joshua 24, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Now guess what? If you don't make a choice, you already have made your choice. If you don't choose this day to serve the Lord, if you don't stop faltering between two opinions, as Elijah said in First Kings chapter 18, if you don't make up your mind to serve the Lord, guess what? You've already made up your mind. You've already made your decision not to serve the Lord. Jesus comes to them and He says, "Follow me." They had a decision to make. What happened in the very next verse? They made their decision. If you're going to come to Jesus, it requires you. You got to come. You're going to come to Jesus, it requires a decision. You've got to make a decision. Yes, today is the day that I'm going to come to the Lord. If you're going to come to Jesus, it's going to require trust. What do you think these guys thought? Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What do you think they thought that meant? Here's Peter and Andrew. Here's these guys that have given their life to fishing. Come here, guys, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Fishers of what? Fishers of men? Lord, what kind of bait are we going to use? Lord, what kind of lures you got in mind? You know, they're going to have to be some big ones. Lord, we're going to need some bigger nets. These things aren't going to hold. I mean, what do you think they're thinking? Everybody was thinking literal in those days. Remember Nicodemus when Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God? What did Nicodemus think? Literal? Okay, we've got to be born again. Here's these men. You're going to become fishers of men. Lord, I need a bigger fishing pole. Well, that gives me a good excuse to go home to the wife. Hey, honey, I need a bigger boat. I can't fish for fish anymore. I need a bigger boat. I got to fish for men now. You know, that'd be a nice conversation. What did they think? They had to trust God. They had to trust Jesus that whatever He had in mind, they were going to do it. Even if it didn't make sense. Fishing for men, that doesn't make... Even if it didn't make sense, Lord, whatever You say, we're going to do it. Whatever You say, we'll follow after You. We'll do whatever You want. We trust You. How much do you trust God? If you're going to come to Jesus, you got to trust everything He says. You got to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do you do that? Do you put your full trust? You can't come to Jesus if you don't trust Him. If you're going to come to Jesus, it's going to require urgency. Notice what it says. Jesus said, follow Me and I will make you to become fishers of men. What does verse 18 say? They went home to talk about it. What does it say? It says they went home to settle their debts first. What does it say? Well, they went to get a bite to eat. They immediately. This wasn't something that required them to think about. There was an urgency behind the call of the Lord. When Jesus called James and John down in verse 20, you see that word again, immediately. If you're going to come to Jesus, this is not the time to procrastinate. Some of you are professional procrastinators. Some of you could go to the Olympics in procrastination and get the gold medal. You know what I'm talking about. But in following after the Lord, this is not a time to put it off. This is not a time to pull a Felix and say, we'll wait for a more convenient season. This is a time to get in the boat. This is a time when the Lord is coming and calling upon you to come after Him for you to get up immediately. And having gotten up immediately to make a commitment to Him. Look at the commitment that's involved here in verse 18. Have you made this kind of commitment to God? Look at verse 18. What kind of commitment did they make? They immediately left their nets. That's all they did every day. And they left them. That's how they made money to put food in their mouths and on the table at home. They left it. That's all they had been doing probably since they were boys. They left it. If you're going to come to Jesus, it's going to require commitment. What kind of commitment have you made to the Lord? What have you left? If there was a verse that was written for you and you had to fill in the blank, to follow Jesus, you decided to follow Jesus and immediately he or she left what? What would be in the blank? Look down in verse 20 at James and John. Immediately he called them. Look what this says. They left their father, Zebedee. They left him in the boat. And they left their father and the boat and the hired servants. What have you left? What have you given up? We don't have time to look this morning at those closing verses of Luke chapter 14. But read that in Luke chapter 14, where three times Jesus said, "You cannot be my disciple, you cannot be my disciple, you cannot be my disciple, you cannot be my disciple if you don't love me more than you love your family." Here were some individuals, they left their father, if that's what it called upon, to follow after the Lord. Jesus said, "You cannot be my disciple if you don't love me more than the world." Here were men who gave up their livelihood. Jesus said, "You cannot follow me, you cannot be my disciple if you do not forsake all and follow me." In Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, I think I have that on the screen, the parallel passage to this in Mark chapter 1, in Luke's account, Luke chapter 5 and verse 11, it says that these men forsook all. Depending on where you are right now, and where you want to be, where you should be, where you need to be spiritually, it's going to require that you come to Jesus. Coming to Jesus requires that you come, not as somebody else, not dressed like somebody else, acting like somebody else. You come to the Lord as yourself. That you come making a decision that says, "I am going to follow the Lord." That you trust whatever He's going to say. Whatever you say, "Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to question it one iota." There's going to be an urgency behind it. "Lord, when you say to do it, I'm going to do it. No questions asked. I'll do it immediately. And I'll do it with a commitment. If it calls upon me," doesn't the Lord call upon us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? I think some of us have figured that was just a figurative way of saying, "Well, it might be hard, but it'll be okay." Are there any sacrifices that we have made? Is there anything we've left in our commitment to the Lord? Coming to Jesus is going to require action. These men could not sit there. They could not say, "Well, that's a good idea. I think I should do that," and then just sit there. Andrew couldn't look at Peter and say, "Hey, Peter, I think this is a good idea. Why don't you go do that?" James couldn't look at John and say, "You know, there's something to this. Why don't you go follow him for me?" Coming to Jesus requires action. The Bible says Jesus said, "Follow me." And so what did they do in verse 18? They followed him. Following our Lord requires that we get up and act. Following our Lord requires submission. It's interesting that there is a different word used. When it says in the end of verse 18 that they followed him, there's a different word. Some translations have the same English word, "followed," at the end of verse 20, but it's a different word here. It's not just that they followed him, but it is that they submitted to him. And it is stated this way in the New King James, that is that they went after him. When you come to Jesus, you don't get out in front of him and show him where to go. You don't get out in front of him and tell him what to do. When you come to Jesus, you submit yourself. You come in and follow in after him. You give yourself up to him. You submit yourself to God, James 4 and verse 7. It's interesting that James chapter 3 and verse 17, when it describes the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that is from above, James 3 and verse 17 says, is willing to yield. When you come to Jesus, are you willing to yield? I've seen some of the way you people drive. I don't know that any of you are willing to yield for anybody. I mean, those signs out there are just for decoration, right? You know, or that's for the other people. That's not for me. Or that's just to warn the other people, "I'm coming." You know, that's a personal challenge anymore to yield on the road today. When it comes to our relationship with God, are we willing to yield? When you evaluate where you are right now and where you ought to be, the only way you're going to get to where you ought to be is you got to come to Jesus. And we won't have time to develop this point, but when you come to Jesus, then you've got to let Jesus. You will never succeed as a Christian if you try to do it on your own. You will never fully serve God acceptably if you're trying to do it without the Lord's help. If you're trying to get your life straightened out and you're not asking the Lord to help, If you're trying to get all the pieces of your life put together and you haven't asked the Lord to help, you'll never get it all together. You'll never get it all straightened out. If you're going to get it all together, you got to come to Jesus, and then you got to let Jesus. Look at what he says. I will make you to become. Did he say, come over here and become fishers of men? Did he command them to become fishers of men? No. He said, I will make you to become fishers of men. Two different verbs. He said, I will, a promise. I'm going to make you. I've got the power to do this, and I'm going to make you to become. There's a process that's involved here. It's not just an overnight thing that's going to happen, and boom, you're going to be a fisher of man. No, it's a process that is involved that has a measurable progress that can be seen. When was the last time you placed yourself into Jesus' hands and said, Lord, make me what you want me to be? Richard Watson just finished teaching an entire quarter here in the auditorium about make me a servant. And I don't know how often you sang the song in here. I know it was a part of some of the classes. Make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant. Make me one too. Make me a servant. In this part, do what you must do to make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. When was the last time you put yourselves into the hands of Jesus and said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Make me what you want me to be. You see, when you come to Jesus and when you let Jesus, when you let Him have control of your life, when you let Him be the one who's going to mold you and to shape you. We sing that song too, don't we? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Do we mean that when we sing it? When we say, have thine own way, Lord, do we really mean that? Mold me and make me after your will. Do we really mean it? This life is not about me. This life is not about what I can accomplish. This life is not about what I can do for the Lord to bring honor and glory to myself. This life is about allowing myself to be used by God for His honor and glory. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. And there's a number of points on this next slide, and we're not going to look at any of them but this first one that's here. But for those of you who are Christians, let me share a verse with you from Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 and encourage you to meditate on this week. In order for us to go from where we are to where we ought to be spiritually, to where we need to be spiritually, we'll never make it there on our own. We will only make it there when we come to Jesus as ourselves, making that decision. Having made that decision with a matter of trust and urgency and commitment and recognizing that it's going to require action and submission, all of that, I come to Jesus, lay myself at His hands. Romans 6 verse 13 says, make yourself an instrument of righteousness, figuratively in the hand of God. As a Christian, we ought to be a tool in the hand of God, an instrument in the hand of God, that is used by Him, that is used for Him, in order that we might be pleasing to Him. Are you a Christian this morning? There are so many applications that could be made of this lesson. If you come to Jesus, Jesus can be the one who motivates you. If you come to Jesus, Jesus is the one who can grow you. If you come to Jesus, Jesus is the one who can strengthen you. Have you ever felt as a Christian, I just can't make it much longer? Have you ever felt as a Christian, I'm bearing as much as I can bear right now? Have you ever felt as a Christian, I don't know if I can go much further? Have you ever felt that way? Remember Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of, not my might, my strength comes from the Lord. Remember Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do how many things? All things through. There's only one person I can do them all through. And it's not me. I can't do all things through me. I can't do all things through the preacher. I can't do all things through the elders. I can't do all things through the president. I can do all things through Christ, because what's He doing? Who strengthens me. If I try to make it through this life on my own, I'm going to be a miserable failure. If I try to make it through this life on my own, I am going to be miserable in trying to make it through this life on my own. But with Christ, I can do all things. Why don't you come to Jesus this morning? And when you come to Jesus this morning, why don't you let Jesus, if you haven't already been saved, why don't you let Jesus save you this morning? Not let the church save you, not let some church creed save you. Why don't you let Jesus save you this morning? His plan of salvation requires believing. If you believe not that I am He, He said you'll die in your sins. His plan of salvation requires repenting. He says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. His plan of salvation requires confessing, avowing, affirming your faith that He is the Son of God in Matthew 10 and verse 32. His plan of salvation requires immersion, being baptized, being immersed in water. Jesus said that unless a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's not some church doctrine that's been made up that teaches that baptism is essential for salvation. It is Christ's doctrine that He made up that says that baptism is required in order to obtain salvation, in order to obtain the remission of sins, in order to obtain an entrance into heaven. And when you do these things, you can be saved by Jesus. You can come to Jesus and you can let Jesus save you. And when you let Jesus save you, He will make you a Christian. That's His name, isn't it? Christ. Who else would you want to make you a Christian than Christ Himself? But you see, He's not going to make you any other Christian than the one that's talked about in the pages of this book. He won't make you a Christian that this world might recognize as a Christian. You ever been asked, what kind of Christian are you? Well, I'm a Christ Christian. He's the one who makes real Christians. What happens when somebody obeys God's plan of salvation? Jesus makes them a Christian. He bestows upon them His name. They become one of His. I know there are a number of individuals. I know there are a number of individuals who have been presented with the fact that they need to do this, and they need to do it right away. That they have been taught the gospel, and that they have been told that the only way to go to heaven, the only way to be saved, is to follow Jesus' plan of salvation and to believe, to repent and confess and to be baptized and have all of your sins washed away. And I know there are a number of individuals who have heard that and they say, well, there's a few things. There's a few things I got to get right in my life first. And then after I get those things right, then I'll become a Christian. A few months later, that same person says, well, there's still a few more things I'm trying to get life right in my life. And when I get those right in my life, then I'll become a Christian. A few months later, same person says, well, there's still a couple things I'm working on. And, you know, as soon as I get those things straightened out, then I'll become a Christian. What's the reality? Oh, they're not ready to become a Christian. What's the reality? Well, they don't want to give their life to the Lord. What's the reality? They're missing that step of repentance. But there's another reality. And that is, when you become a Christian, when you come to Jesus and let Jesus, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You don't need to have your whole life put back together. If you had your whole life put back together, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you had everything right, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you had all the puzzle pieces in the right places, you wouldn't need Jesus. But the very fact that you need Him to save you says that you don't have it all together. You don't have everything right. But to become a Christian, you've got to have the mindset that says, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to stop doing wrong. I want to start doing right. And I'm going to this very day start taking steps to rectify and change what's wrong in my life and to make it right. And I'm going to become a Christian, be baptized this very day. If you're ready to do that, if we can help you today, if we can study with you, if we can answer any questions that you have, or if you're a child of God, if you need to come and let Jesus transform you and change you and build you and grow you and develop you and encourage you, if we can help you in any way this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.